You're listening to Healthcare Now Radio. Stand by for This Just In, the latest in healthcare innovation and technology trends with your HIT advisor, Justin Barnes.
Thank you for tuning in and welcome to a special episode of This Just In Radio. I'm your co-host today, Roberta Mullen, editor of Answers Media Network and station manager for Healthcare Now Radio. And I'm here today with Justin Barnes for our regular checkup and check-in on the Health Innovation Think Tank. Not only is this the 162nd episode of the This Just In Radio, but in today's half-hour segment, we're going to offer a sneak peek into Justin's most recent Health Innovation Think Tank, where he brought together 50 healthcare thought leaders to collaborate and discuss healthcare and innovation best practices and share that with the industry. We also have a special announcement to make, but before we get to all that, as always, we're broadcasting today on the This Just In Studios, on the Healthcare Now Radio Network, as well as the Business Radio X Network. So Justin, first tell us the big news that you just confirmed yesterday.
Yeah, thank you, Roberta. It's great to be on air with you again. And yeah, I'm very excited to announce that we'll be broadcasting the This Just In Radio Show again live from HIMSS annual conference in Orlando starting Tuesday, February 12th. And we'll be going 1 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. This will be our fifth year broadcasting live from the annual conference, and I could not be more excited. So certainly for everybody who's thinking about HIMSS 19 next February, please begin to make your reservations if you haven't already. Hotel rooms sell out fast, so certainly think about that. But we'll be broadcasting again February 12th, 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. at booth 2821. So certainly stop by and see the show and listen to us. However, if you're not able to make the conference this year, you can stream us again live at thisjustinradio.com. Again, at thisjustinradio.com. Last year, we had over 30,000 listeners, and it was a lot of fun and a lot of learning. So if you've got the opportunity, join us in person. If not, certainly listen in, tune in. We'll have another great slate of CEO, CIO, leading care providers, industry thought leaders, riveting authors, and certainly policy makers joining the show. I couldn't be more excited, Roberta. We'll have, you know, even John Halamka has already confirmed, and we'll have Rasu from UPMC and Anish Chopra and Neil Gomes and author Dan Monroe and Ed Marks from Cleveland Clinic, and I'm sure Dr. DeSalvo will join us again. But then also some great guests like Dr. Kamal Jathwani from Partners Healthcare. He leads their virtual care strategy. Just a phenomenal gentleman. He's a member of the think tank. He's awesome and great to collaborate with. And Andy Bartley from Intel, one of the top innovators in the industry. So yeah, I couldn't be more excited for what's coming up here in the next couple of months.
I know our audience loves your HIMSS Live. For those who can't go, and those that can, because, you know, we have that mobile app now and you can just listen anywhere. So, and I can't wait to hear Anish again.
Yes.
He was my favorite last year.
He's awesome. So much energy. Yeah. Anish, yes. Right. He walks onto that stage and he's just got so much energy and we have a lot of camaraderie as well. We've been friends for a long time.
So now let's dive into today's show, the Health Innovation Think Tank. This is your fourth one. For those who may not follow the think tank, tell us about it and where did the idea come from?
Sure. Great question. So, about 2 years ago, a handful of us got together and we were just kind of collaborating around how can we advance healthcare? How can we move it together as a team almost, in a way of thought leaders and people who really want to see advances in innovation, advances in care delivery, and how do we collaborate outside of our silos? Because right now, healthcare is extremely siloed. Certainly, we see that issue in interoperability alone, but just the way we talk, who we collaborate with, who we work with on a regular basis, we tend, you know, to just do that in silos. I come from the EHR industry, the electronic health record industry. And a lot of us, we created our own association. We worked amongst ourselves a lot of times. We reached out to other groups throughout the year, but no deep collaboration. And so, and care providers do the same thing, and payers do the same thing, and policy people tend to collaborate in groups and do outreach at times, but we don't really get into deep collaboration. So we saw the opportunity to create the Health Innovation Think Tank, have 50 thought leaders come together. Really the format is you pull 50 thought leaders together, and each time we have one, we will bring 25 from a previous think tank and then 25 new. And we really come together around three themes. Every time we meet, there are different themes. But from care collaboration to consumerism to virtual care to innovation in general, accountable care. So any types of value-based care, any types of big themes and big strategies for healthcare, that's what we collaborate on. So it's a great format. We've had almost 200 collaborators, 220 collaborators so far, just because we pulled in from other areas and some of our groups have gotten larger at times, but it's just, it's terrific.
Who are the key stakeholder groups and why did they get involved?
Yeah, great question. And the key, it's kind of funny. I put a slide together trying to pull the key stakeholders and it's over 100 key ones. But we've had a lot of individuals, like I said, we have almost a couple hundred people now collaborating as part of the think tank. But I mean, you've got partners to Northwell, to UPMC, to Duke, to Christus, even Resurgence Orthopedics out of Atlanta, to Boston University, Ford Association of ACOs, Nemaha County Hospital. We have literally facilities, and those are just our care providers. Then we have entities, Intel and Philips and Qualcomm and McKesson and Meditech and Cerner and Allscripts and CPSI and NextGen and Change Healthcare and even other visionaries and innovators like Hip Nation and Livongo Health and Call9 and Commonwealth Health Advisors and Lenovo for sure. And obviously my holdings group, Justin Barnes Advisors and Center for Connected Medicine. So lots of different entities, even HHS and ONC for that matter. Every meeting we invite the federal government and have them participate in different capacities. But just a very broad constituency. And the goal really, again, is they get involved because they get to collaborate with people outside of their ecosystem, outside of their direct vertical. And I think that was the whole mainstay of creating the think tank is increasing collaboration, communication, and hopefully interoperability of data, interoperability and sharing of ideas, and really bringing us together to propel healthcare, but not only here in America, but globally. So this is also a global. A lot of these companies are global, and so we have a global constituency. We have over 10 members that are, very large global players, and they bring those ideas because, again, we can learn things from other countries. We don't do everything perfectly here, and in some ways we don't do things very well here, but in some ways we truly do. So we want to learn from all over the world and bring best practices here and then share best practices out, with the rest of the world. So
it kind of says something about these particular groups because they actually want to collaborate.
For sure.
It does make them stand out when they do something like this. Yeah. Okay. What does the think tank plan to achieve over the next year? And what is your year calendar? What do you consider your year calendar?
Yeah, calendar great question. Year? So what it's falling into, because now we're actually going into our third year, 2019 will be our third year. And so what we realize is we use the HIMSS annual conference is kind of a recap from the previous year. So we spent, it's a 2-hour meeting. Usually we do a full day. We actually do a full day and a half. People fly in for our think tank and we spend an evening together having dinner and just getting to know each other and then spend an entire following day, 8 hours in this think tank. And then we all fly out. But that's our traditional think tanks that do not occur around HIMSS. The one that actually occurs at HIMSS every year, the HIMSS conference, we only do 2 hours. So the first hour is really a recap of what we achieved in the previous year. So this year, when we meet in February at HIMSS, we'll discuss what we achieved, all the best practices and key takeaways from the think tanks, the two think tanks that occurred in 2018. And then we'll set a stage for what will happen in 2019 for the additional two think tanks that we will host. I'm sure we'll host one. We'll certainly host one in February in Orlando during HIMSS 19, and then we'll host another one. We assume in June, and hopefully another one in October. That's our cadence, and so that's how the year usually runs for us.
I know the think tank has not released its latest findings, but can we highlight some of them?
Yeah, for sure. And that's exactly what, you know, we're going to start to, we'll actually finish synthesizing all of these best practices down. It's actually, it's a pretty daunting task because you have, you know, 50 thought leaders in a room. We cover three themes. This year we covered consumerism, for this think tank, we covered consumerism, care collaboration, and innovation. Those are our three themes. And so you have, you know, again, 50 thought leaders sharing their ideas in those three topics. And so I have numerous note takers throughout the room, and we're capturing a lot of what the content. And I'm trying, and I'm narrating this, and I'm actually the master of ceremonies for this event and the host. And so I'm conducting the day. I'm taking down my own notes when I hear great things. But we really pull out a lot of best practices from what people are achieving today. And again, these are all people, all shapes and sizes, health systems of all sizes. We have a small Nemaha County, rural county facility, rural health system, all the way up to, I think our largest one is Northwell out of New York. I'm not sure their exact bed count, but they're the one of the largest health systems in the country, in the world, actually. So we have people of all sizes, and the ideas and best practices that come out of them are just terrific. So, you know, it's a blessing to be able to do it. And so what I want to talk, you know, bring up today and begin to share some of them. Again, we're still synthesizing a lot of these down, but taking all this content, putting them into bullet points that are digestible by the industry, that people can really understand. And my goal and everything that we share out of the think tank is actionable intelligence. That's really what I want to get it all down to, because there's a lot of deep thought leadership, very complex topics, and a lot of acronyms being used, expert kind of testimony, but then synthesizing that to such a bullet point that the general healthcare industry can understand what we're talking about and then want to, you know, take that and enable it inside their organization, no matter what size they are. We kind of cover the entire spectrum. So, and it's not just health systems, it's innovators. We have, you know, half the room or a third of the room are innovators, you know, and vendors and ISVs. Then we have health systems, and again, we have payers, and we have public policy people in Capitol Hill and other constituencies like that. So it's a great opportunity.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So you say you want this to be actionable. How do you go back to the previous ones from there to see how they're being put into place or if they're working? What's the process there that you know that these are being actionable?
That's a great question. So what we do is there's a couple of different mechanisms that we put in place. First of all, we ask people if they report anything to us based off our key findings, then we will capture that and we will publicize that in a website that we're creating. We're actually healthinnovationthinktank.com is a URL that we purchase. It's a long one, but it's perfect for us because we're not just a health think tank. We're not a healthcare think tank. We are truly a health innovation think tank. And so we just put healthinnovationthinktank.com. We'll publish all of that out there. So that's a great incentivizer for people to take these best practices, put them into action inside their facility or their company, and then share them back with us, and we'll publicize it. I've done numerous radio shows around it, a lot of public speaking engagements. I put them in part of all what we're achieving out there and what either our members of the think tank are achieving, or just general people who take what they've learned from the think tank and put it into action. I will highlight that in my keynotes and my public speaking, and certainly the radio show. So that's how we kind of make it full circle. It's a lot of fun.
Okay, so let's get back to, I think we're going to talk about the consumerism takeaways.
Yeah. So a really interesting, the whole session was very interesting, but I think to boil it down to two really key points that came out of the consumerism discussion was, and this came from actually a large ACO and medical group, their strategy for patient engagement and navigating consumerism. And every health system in the country is navigating consumerism, and probably most in the world are, but certainly here in America. So I think one of the best practices that the medical director had mentioned to us is what they focus on, the three U's: useful, usable, and you have to develop trust. That was the best practice that they've learned from navigating thousands of patients through their process, being successful with patient engagement, and truly being successful at capturing consumerism in their community. And they also, another one they shared is everyone must find value in the technology and strategy. So the health system must, the providers must, the patients must, and that's all. And that goes back to being useful, and you have to develop trust. And that goes for everybody touching the system, everybody touching the platform, everybody touching the strategy. Another one that came out of that was it must fit into natural workflows. You can't ask anybody to change. You can't ask the doctors to change. You can't ask the patients to change. But you're delivering services as a byproduct of their normal activities. And that is very important. When you look at usability of a product and adoption of technology, it's got to fit into their normal flow of how they provide care, how they seek care, how they want to manage their care. And that is, again, that goes true for doctors, and that certainly goes true for patients and other care providers. And then trust. Patients need to trust that they will get the quality care that they deserve, that they're seeking, that their data is safe, the doctor is who they say they are, and the patient is who they say they are. So again, that's both sides of the coin. That's the patient and the doctor and all the care providers and, for legal reasons, the health system. So that's where the trust comes in. So again, he got up there and spoke and mentioned the three U's: useful, usable, and you have to develop trust. I just love that. Very catchy. The other one that was very key, and this is a different large health system, actually out of Boston, did a survey to their constituency. And it was around video visits. So what we know as virtual care, but they called it video visits to their patient base and their consumers. And they said, on a scale of -5 to +5, how interested are you in video visits with your primary care provider or with doctors? Patient gave the overall concept a 3.5, a +3.5. So, and that's pretty good because not everybody wants to do video chat. There's a lot of people that just don't want to do it. So they said actually getting a +3.5 is about the highest they expected to get. So again, the whole scale was -5 to +5. And people on the scale of are you interested to get a video visit with a doctor? Patients gave it a 3.5 overall. So here's the interesting part. What about the same video visit opportunity with a different physician who is not your recorded primary care provider?
So it's like going to an emergency room.
Or going through a video visit with a doctor who's not your doctor, with a doctor.
Right. That would be like going to an emergency room. That's not your doctor,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But using a video. Yeah, exactly. But on your phone or whatever device.
Yes.
Right.
That came up as a minus 0.6. So a minus 0.6. So that's one of the big things out there is, well, hey, because people think, well, all this video chat's going to be revolutionary. And while it can be in certain sectors, patients did not see or did not really want that type of a technology as much. I mean, it's not negative yet. It is negative. It's negative 0.6. So they taken a video chat with a doctor, not your doctor, but they have access to your record. They did not see that as a plus. They saw it as a negative, 0.6. However, this is very interesting. What about a physician who can't see your medical record but just is a doctor? They give that a -5. And that is the most prominent model in America today. Because when you use all – I don't want to name any big telemedicine companies, but most of those, 90%, 95% of telemedicine gets you a doctor that does not have access to your medical records. That got a -5. So they got the lowest. So again, the scale is -5 to +5. And the patients gave that a -5.
There's a lot of hospitals, though, too, going back to the emergency room, that you go into an emergency room that don't have your records either.
Correct. I mean, and the cost is enormous. Obviously, the ER is the most expensive place in America. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
But everybody goes there.
Right. Well, they do. I think again, back to navigating consumerism, I think many people are learning not to run to the ER because anybody that's ever run to the ER learns really quick, well, that was a $2,000 visit or a $1,000 visit for nothing, you know? Unless you're having a heart attack, you certainly go to the ER. But most people who go to the ER are not having heart attacks. So and then you get this nice $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 bill, and you're like, oh, my goodness, I'll never do that again. So anyhow, I just thought that was pretty fascinating. So. The best practice that came out of that is patients want video. No, okay, the concept, give it 3.5. However, they want video chat and video visits with their doctor, not a random care provider. if you are going to give it, make sure it's they have access to my medical record. They still don't like that option, but they got to have at least access to the medical record. So
I think those numbers would even be more interesting if they had the demographics, the age demographics of that, of those, that those being surveyed.
Well, that was from 25 to 55 was the main demographic for that.
Yeah, but that's not an age group.
Oh, you're talking about, right, break that down by age group. Right, right.
Exactly. Yeah, the 25-year-old is not the same patient or consumer as a 55-year-old.
Yes, it's not, but they are the ones who are – the video visit is much more applicable to them because that's how they manage a lot more of their life through those devices. However, they still don't necessarily – they want to talk to their doctor. I mean, they want their doctor, not a random person, and certainly a random person does not have access to the medical record, whereas someone, you know, 55 or even 65 may not be as comfortable with the technology and may not want that visit. But we are seeing where people – that is really – changing. I mean, even 55, 65, 75 are getting better with video visits, certainly when they understand the value.
Sure, sure. Well, now they them set up in the nursing homes.
Exactly.
So any more on consumerism?
No. I mean, I know we've only got a 26-minute show or so, and we've already, those are the highlights from the consumerism.
Exactly. Well, patients are consumers has been like an overriding theme this year, and it's only going to get more, you know. That's what consumerism is. You know, patients are consumers.
Big time, for sure.
Which healthcare has not really looked at them like that
forever.
Right. Ever. Thank you. Care collaboration was your next.
Yeah, and for the sake of time, I probably won't go into as much detail as I did with the consumerism because I found the consumerism really fascinating. But in care collaboration, it was as well. I think the biggest thing that I would say with care collaboration is the Alexa factor. People think it's still some futuristic thing. It's not. It is here. It is for real. It's not just the future. It will get better. But people, certainly the leaders, even the smaller facilities. When I say a leader does not mean it's a big billion-dollar organization. Like Nemaha County Hospital in Nebraska, they're leaders. They're fantastic. So there's a lot of smaller facilities. It means nothing to do with the size. It means to do with the mentality of the organization. And they're bootstrapped. They're financially constrained like most health systems are. But their leaders are forward-thinking. They've had to get very creative, very inventive. They've been rolling out remote patient monitoring 6 years, long before any reimbursement was coming because they had to. They had to manage a rural population. So they're a leader. So I don't want people to say, well, you're only talking about the rich people. No, I'm not. I'm talking about people who are forward-thinking, getting very inventive with the money that they have, and creating a difference in a better healthcare community. And these people are deploying different types of technology, different types of artificial intelligence, NLP, which is natural language processing. It's just really interesting to see how doctors and care providers are asking for more assistance or education and engagement with AI, artificial intelligence, but also augmented intelligence. And then also understand, but you also have to get that right. That's one of the big things that came up is doctors were actually taking more to AI and machine learning than people had expected. However, you got to still develop the trust. We got to make sure it's accurate. We can't have any mistakes. And so there's a big focus on that to make sure we get it right. But the openness to wanting to use artificial intelligence and augmented intelligence at the point of care and the care delivery by doctors and care providers was fascinating. There's a lot more support than I think people had realized. There's aversion to it. So that was the biggest thing on the care collaboration side that I'd bring up. But we'll cover obviously a lot more as we share our key takeaways from the think tank.
Great. Well, we'll have to circle back around when those come out. But give us a sneak peek on the next think tank.
So our next think tank will happen at HIMSS 19 in February. And then we'll certainly, what's really cool about that is we're going to be talking about the healthcare disruptors and what are they doing and how do you become a healthcare disruptor? And so that's going to be one of the big topics at Think Tank 5. Transparency of cost, transparency of quality. So when we get down to transparency of cost, that's significant. I've been in that side of the house now for a couple of years in healthcare because that really gets to the root of consumerism as well. But then also, how do we share quality? How do we measure quality and share that? And there's no answer specifically to that. We don't have answers for some of these things. That's why we get together and talk about them as leaders and try to come up with some solutions. And then amplification of technology is another topic that we will discuss. And that is specifically around how do we scale? How do we really begin to have data flowing, more usability of our solutions, more patient engagement, and scale as an industry, which is kind of cool. So those are the next topics coming up for Think Tank 5.
How can people find out more about the Think Tank?
Well, the Think Tank, healthinnovationthinktank.com, that's our website. And that's the, and also if you type in or request any information, that'll come directly to me or my team, and we'll certainly get back with you. Engage, if you have thoughts on how to engage the Think Tank, or you've got some best practices that you want to share with us, you can let us know right from that website. JustinBarnes.com also hosts a lot of that, so you can go to my website personally and interact with me there, ask any questions. It is invite only, people that we come that come to the Think Tank, but they can certainly send invitations and requests to me, and I will process. So thank you.
That all sounds great. Justin, great to join you on air. And thanks, everybody, for joining us today. And please tune in weekdays at 2:30 p.m. Eastern, 11:30 a.m. Pacific to hear our latest shows. As always, you can track Justin on Twitter at HIT Advisor. And use the hashtag ThisJustInRadio so we can respond to your comments from the show. If you've missed any of the episodes or want to hear more, Justin's shows are posted on Apple iTunes, SoundCloud, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Google Play, and TuneIn. Thanks, everybody. Have a terrific week.